you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Start your Saturday with something that will grow your kiddos' brains and get their creative juices flowing. Join us at LAS in Pasadena for a morning of multilingual readings, interactive performances, and lots of kid fun. It's Super Fun Saturday on June 1st. Get your tickets at las.com/events.
LAS Studios.
Better hop over this fence.
I was like 12 years old, and I would just see all the graffiti on the freeways and think of it like, damn, it's almost like a superhero came at night and no one knows who it is. It is hard. A lot of detail that goes into it that really doesn't get acknowledged. It doesn't get the love it deserves, but now it's actually getting some love, you know what I'm saying?
This is How to LA, the podcast that helps you understand what's happening in our city. I'm Brian De Los Santos.
Oh, yeah. That's LA shit for you, man.
Today, I want to share something that's been on my mind. For weeks, all eyes have been on the Oceanwide Towers. You know, the unfinished luxury high-rise project in downtown LA. You can literally see the graffiti from the freeway.
We're talking about vandalism. We're talking about tagging with graffiti of this abandoned luxury high-rise.
Some people were mad to see the buildings defaced. Other people celebrated it as kind of like a reclaiming of the city. You know, beautification of an abandoned building.
And talk about kind of taking your life into your hands, going up on these things and painting.
This writer got five floors worth to do their name. That's impressive. I mean, when you know how big that is.
Yeah, it's the scale, it's where it was. I mean, yeah. There's a lot to it.
Some people also said it was a form of protest. Well, regardless of how you feel about the towers, the LA City Council approved nearly $4 million to fence off the area and remove the graffiti from the three towers. City officials hope to recover the money from the company, but there aren't any guarantees. I mean, the buildings are unfinished because Oceanwide didn't have the money to complete it in 2019. And now, the company is facing involuntary bankruptcy. And there's more. Oceanwide and former city officials have both been players in federal investigations for bribery and money laundering. This story is complicated. But I'll share a little bit of my bias right now. I don't mind the art on those towers. I mean, they're abandoned. They're not serving anyone. Driving to work and seeing that graffiti art is kind of nice. So today we're going to explore those feelings, talking about the art, not the politics. And we're going to introduce you to an artist who devotes his time to LA's graffiti scene. We met up with Red Ortiz in Sani Alley in the Fashion District in downtown LA to talk about what graffiti has meant to him personally and how it launched his journey as an artist.
Yo, what up? I'm Red Ortiz. I'm a graffiti writer from the A18, Los Angeles, California, and I'm here explaining some painting things.
Red's relationship with graffiti goes way back.
I learned a lot of stuff through graffiti, illegal graffiti, that became a positive impact in my life. And now I'm making a living off of my art.
We're in a specific alley in downtown LA because Red has a few pieces here. And yes, Red's going to do some painting for us before the episode's out. So stick around.
So pretty much Red came from like a lot of like illegal street art, right? It's crazy because actually I've came out on the news with my mugshot for graffiti one time. And then a couple years later, I get interviewed, you know, just like getting acknowledged for my art that I've, you know, done out here.
Red was interviewed by the Spanish radio station La Que Buena about his Kobe murals throughout the city. And his Nipsey Hussle mural was shared on social media by none other than Snoop Dogg and U.S. Senator Alex Padilla. Padilla called it stunning. These pieces were paid commissions. But going back a few years, Red was a different kind of street artist. Before we get too deep into Red's story, let's do some quick graffiti 101, because there's a lot of insider terminology here.
For the most part, a bomb is like a quick straight letter, sometimes like thicker letters and stuff. A piece is more of like technical, you can't really read what it says. And yeah, like obviously a tag is just literally like a hand style tag where it's like, oh, this is how he writes his name.
Red himself has experience with all of that.
There's rules to the game. Don't do a tag over a bomb. You don't do a bomb over a piece. You don't do a piece over a mural. There's a lot of people that respect and they kind of know the game, but then there's also those youngsters that don't really know it yet or don't have the, you know, older homies to bring them around and be like, yo, you don't do that. Those people end up finding out the hard way sometimes. I'm in my 30s now, but I was around 12 years old when I started like seeing art and being inspired by it. I was spending a lot of time in South Central Los Angeles with my aunt and my cousins. So I would always drive out here and just see all the graffiti on the freeways and think of it like, damn, like it's almost like a superhero came at night and no one knows who it is. I remember my first time was like elementary, bro, like walking to school, I was like tagging on people's driveways and like garages and not knowing that that's like the dumbest shit you could do, right? But you know, as I got older, I started being smarter about it. I started doing a lot of freeway graffiti, like I was inspired by it so much. I started becoming that guy overnight, late nights, investing my time and, you know, putting everything at risk just to like be seen in a sense. Or, like just kind of like, yo, I'm actually good at something. And I just want people to know that. I was probably like 16 years old, 17. I kind of started realizing that trains travel more and they last longer than painting around your neighborhood. So I kind of got into that just every weekend, almost like going to church, man, like every Sunday, like 2 a.m. I'll just go paint like 1 or 2 trains till the sun came up. It was a rush. You're there at night, you're hiding from the train workers. It's just so dark, and then like the only light you have is the moonlight shining down on you. You don't realize how powerful the moon is until you're really like in pitch black darkness. There was times where like the train police passed by, and so it was like I gotta hide under the train. Sometimes you hear them walking right past you, so you just like hear rocks stepping like right next to you, like you just gotta wait till they're gone. And then the sun starts coming up and you're like, oh damn, now I can see the colors and it's looking dope and it's just exciting seeing these pieces come to life. I remember one time I fell off a roof. I was painting a rooftop that you could see from the freeways. I was really young, so my older homie was actually faster than me, right, at painting. So he finished up before me. And since it was illegal, he was like, hey, bro, like, you're taking forever. I'm gonna wait for you in the car, bro, because I ain't trying to, you know, get caught. As he left, I remember I'm painting, and then I hear, like, cop sirens coming from the side block, right? So I just, like, rushed and, like, kind of panicked out, put all my shit in my bag, started, like, climbing down one of those poles. And then I heard the cops like closer and I just let go. I thought I was low to the ground, right? But it turns out I was like really high. I just remember my backpack taking full force of me coming down, and then like I landed in between these 4 poles. Luckily, like my backpack kind of protected my back and my head. And then I look at my hand and I was just dripping blood. And I realized like a little wire got in my hand. After that, I just ran, and off of adrenaline, I didn't really feel anything. Until like later my friend was like, dude, I gotta take you somewhere to fucking clean this shit up. Like my whole hand like dripping blood. But yeah, that was, you know, luckily I didn't get caught. So it was a good day. What happened from that is me finding myself and becoming Red as an artist, a director, and like just creating all the time, you know what I mean? And actually getting paid for it. A couple years back, like 4 or 5 years, I did a big project called Rushing Waters. It was organized by Levi Ponce, and I was one of the commissioned artists that he chose to help him with it.
Oh, I found it on the internet. It celebrates the history of Pacoima, and it's depicting like tribal women from Pacoima.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man. It's honestly like now a stamp in my city, and I actually grew up right next to it down the train tracks, so it meant a lot to me, and till this day, I think it's like one of the biggest murals in the valley. After that, I started getting more mural-type projects and taking more seriously as a muralist.
And as a graffiti writer, you get these skills that are very helpful in the film world. So I kind of started becoming like a scenic painter where, you know, you paint sceneries. Like, say they want a jungle, we need the background to look like a sky. It's like, all right, I know how to paint a sky, you know, little things like that. I became a director myself, music videos and commercials, films, and also became a barber with the detailed lettering stuff. Like, I was able to figure out how to cut hair. So yeah, it all came from graffiti, man. Just translating that to other forms of business, you know?
After a break.
So this piece is on the other side of the fence. They had like covered it.
Red's hopping over this chain link fence.
Yeah, so this is usually what you find in my trunk, man. A couple buckets of paint, a couple hundred spray cans.
We'll be right back.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Pendarvis Harshaw, host of the Right Now-ish podcast. Every week, I talk to the people who are creating art and culture and spreading it to the universe.
As an artist, you always meet yourself. Every year, you're a different person.
Essentially, we normalize a space where you can show up as your authentic self.
Check out Right Now-ish, rooted in California's Bay Area, speaking to you.
It's so many people of color, so many queer people. It's like I'm being celebrated in my fullness.
Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, and we are back for another round.
This is clearly an NPR audience.
Yeah, I think they're so smart. What the hell?
My guests this time are actor Vella Lavelle and author Amanda Montell, whose new book, The Age of Magical Overthinking, is out now. Join us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum for book talk, trivia, and hot takes. Tickets can be found at laist.com/events.
And we're back in Sandy Alley in downtown LA. We mentioned earlier that Red's got a few pieces right here in this alley. Well, one of them was looking a little rough around the edges, so we had to stick around and watch him touch it up.
I always keep a paint mask, you know, because it's really bad for you to, you know, smell paint. So I always got to keep a mask on me, man, because I care about my life, you know. Better hop over this fence. You got to make sure it's solid first before you hop.
Red's hopping over this chain link fence, spray can in one hand, face mask in the other.
Even if the cops were here, I wouldn't get in trouble. I just know how to explain myself.
There's a lot going on in this piece.
Yeah, it's just like UFOs hitting like a city.
I love the, what is it, an alien? What is it giving?
It was Mars Attacks.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember that, but yeah, it was like an old school like movie. That's kind of what it is. It's like a Mars Attacks alien. You got the UFOs taking over. You got the little robot right here. Got some planes, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm just adding kind of highlights to it right now.
I was thinking, how many times do I get to do this with someone? Here he is, carefully choosing different color, a different twist on his art. It was stunning to watch an artist do his thing, do his work, keeping it beautiful for other people to look at.
That's an LA shit for you, man.
How often do you need to touch something up?
I mean, just as much as it lasts. Sometimes you just let it go, you know? Sometimes you touch it up if you feel like it's worth it to come back or if it's safe to come back. And sometimes, like, you just let it go, you know? It comes and goes, man. It's like money.
So that's one Angelino's relationship to graffiti. There are thousands of other graffiti writers in LA. Every year, there are hundreds of thousands of new reports of graffiti throughout the city. Anything from quick tags to large and complex murals. Like the ones that appeared on the downtown LA towers we mentioned at the top of this episode. You know, the whole reason we're talking about all of this. So I asked Red for his artist's perspective. What did he think about those towers? Was this graffiti art or vandalism?
I mean, I would just say there's like so much more things you could worry about, you know what I mean, that are like matter way more than like trying to like take off graffiti off a wall. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's a lot of people struggling and it would take a lot of money to fix those buildings, and I don't think it's ever gonna happen, to be honest.
Vandalism is like me like breaking this fucking window right now. You know what I mean? Like me like trashing something. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes graffiti could be that because it's an expression of someone. Someone's probably having a really bad day. Someone's like going through stuff. They're probably just expressing it on the wall. And like, it might be your wall. You know what I mean? So, you know, but like, I think the whole Los Angeles Towers thing was fucking dope. I thought it was like a great expression of LA. There's definitely a lot of love into it, man. There's a lot of passion behind it. These people are out there like risking it, sneaking in. I know people that are like, dude, only three of us were able to get in out of like seven of us, and we had to do these big letters on our own. And you really got to detail and like measure things out very well and strategically. You got to think of it like people are doing multiple size letters, right? Like multiple floors. So you literally got to step back and see what the letter is looking like. But you can't step back, because you step back, you die. That's the beauty of it. There's no way of like, yo, how did he do that? In reality, it's just people using their mind and their abilities and like expressing themselves and then like doing what it takes. I think the buildings are a beautiful thing, man.
Special thanks to Red Ortiz for sharing his graffiti hustle story. Coming up, expressing himself in the world of illegal graffiti writing and transitioning to film directing and commissioned murals. So, what do you think? Is graffiti art or vandalism? Is it both? Let me know what you think at howtola@scpr.org. We actually read every email that comes through, and it helps us know what you guys want to hear. So, get in touch. And if you learned anything from this episode, do me a solid and leave us a review. It helps our show get recommended to other people too. So, share that love. This episode was produced by Evan Jacoby. Our other producers are Megan Botel, Monica Bushman, and Victoria Alejandro. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.